Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the spinach of bad times, putting it in the pan of the internet and shrinking it down to an itty-bitty bit of bad time spinach.
Oh, I thought I wasn't ready there because I thought you were going to add garlic or maybe even cream it up.
Maybe I should have added the garlic of humour.
I didn't know what. Yeah, you should have added. There was no humour in it. Is this going to be a humourless episode?
No, I don't know. It depends what form John's on. But
yeah,
you know, I'm mainly focusing on we take bad times and shrink them down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what spinach does, isn't it? It reduces right down.
So this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is the Off-Menu podcast. Ed is a maitre d'. I am a genie waiter. And we invite a guest every single week into our dream restaurant. And we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
John Kearns. John Kearns, one of the greats.
Fantastic. We love John Kearns. We were delighted to watch him absolutely knock things out the park on his fantastic series of Taskmaster.
Well, no, he didn't knock things out the park.
Well, he was funny.
He was brilliant and very funny.
Yeah.
But everything stayed in the park. He mainly knocked it directly into his own face.
Yeah, which is what we wanted to see.
Yes.
But yeah, he did. Most of it knocked directly into his own face. And he's on tour at the minute as well.
He's on tour.
People want to go and see him.
The Varnishing Days.
John has never done, I was going to say never done a bad show. He's never done an all right show. He's always done a fantastic show. And you want to get yourself along to see John live.
I've booked to go and see him.
Exciting.
He's doing a big show at the Bloomsbury Theatre. I've booked to go and see that.
You'll be
very
there.
Excited. I'll be there.
So listen out for Ed. If you're in the Bloomsbury audience, listen out for that Ed Gamble laugh because he lets it fly.
I let that bad boy fly, especially when I'm watching John Kearns. He's brilliant.
Yes.
But despite that, if John Kearns says an ingredient that we do not like or that we're not happy with or that we've just come up with randomly, he's gone.
He is gone. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Double cheeseburger, because John picked double cheeseburger for a task in Taskmaster.
So we're being sneaky here, because we've seen him order it on TV before.
Yeah.
He was doing a task where you can order any three items, didn't even have to be food, to use in the task without knowing what the task was, and he thought of a double cheeseburger. So this is when he has the choice of anything in the world. So now we ask him just food. This could very well be a kicker-outer.
Yeah, it could be a kicker-outer. But you know what? If it is, so be it. But I'd be sad to see him go.
Yeah, but also, anyone who's seen him on Taskmaster will expect him to get kicked out of this.
Absolutely. So. This is the Off-Menu Menu of John Kearns.
John Kearns.
Welcome, John, to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, thanks for having me. Beautiful.
Welcome, John Kearns, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, John.
Yeah. You look nice today.
Thank you. You look nice today.
Thank you. Rosy-cheeked.
Do I look rosy-cheeked today?
Yeah, I feel rosy-cheeked.
Well, it's because it's cold outside, I guess, isn't it? So it's the cold to the warmth.
This room's quite warm.
Taxi driver didn't have the heating on.
Yeah.
And then he was getting a phone call from his mate. Mm. And he quickly had to get it onto his headphones. But in between him having it like loud so I could hear it, his headphones, the guy was going, hate this job, can't stand this job, an hour, it's taking me an hour. And he was talking.
His mate was saying that.
Or he his mate had driven it. His mate, it took him 2 hours.
The taxi driver that you had wasn't shouting, I hate this job, and then immediately stopped speaking.
No, the taxi driver, he was talking to his mate, who was also a taxi driver.
Right.
And he was saying, you learn from your mistakes, calm down.
Did you know he was a taxi driver, his other mate? Did he say that? Or did he just say he hated his job? Because it could have been anything. It could have been a lion tamer.
To be honest, he didn't ever tell me he was a taxi driver.
Yeah, you're assuming that.
Yeah.
But how was a lion tamer? Hate this job. Took me 2 hours.
To tame a lion.
To tame
a
whole
lion. This morning.
Yeah. That's quite quick, though, isn't it?
2 hours.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
No.
Not for a show. The lion tamers, they get a 15-minute slot like everyone else at the circus. So you got to do it in a short
But they're not bringing in a new lion every day, are they? I'd imagine they're pre-taming.
Do you know
lions?
What? Yeah, I guess the lion is pretty tame.
Yeah.
Because he knows the guy, you know, lion comes out like, oh, you again.
Yeah.
Lion's putting on a show.
The lion puts on the show.
Yeah.
He's acting ferocious.
But you never know when they could flip.
Siegfried and Roy.
What, the lion?
Yeah.
I like watching those videos, you know, when...
Tiger, Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
It can flip. Sorry.
The tiger can flip.
I used Siegfried and Roy as an example of, like, no matter how tame you got it, they are still dangerous animals.
Yeah.
But they're tigers. They're tigers, not lions. Yeah. And I don't want people listening to this thinking that I don't know that Siegfried and Roy used to train tigers and not lions. We get tweets.
Yeah.
And that's Benito's time that's being taken up with those tweets. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What are you going to say?
I like watching the Spanish guys get dumb. You know what I mean?
The bullfighters.
The bullfighters.
Yeah.
What a brave sentence to throw out.
Yeah, I think you've got to be specific, really.
That's when you know the guest is already friends with the podcast hosts and the producer and knows that he's going to be okay in the long run. He can say this.
Yeah. I like watching the Spanish guys get done.
They're going to save me. They're not going to hang me out to dry here. I'm all right.
Wait, so like, have you anyone? So someone who you've never met before. So who's done the podcast that you've never met before?
Stanley Tucci. Stanley Tucci.
So would you have not picked him up on that?
What I mean is, if I was a guest on a podcast, and I didn't know the hosts or the producer, I would not be certain that I would be okay throwing that out. Ed and I, no matter who the guest was, we would catch him, we'd sort it out.
Yeah.
But if I didn't know him, I'd be like, if I just say I like it when the Spanish guys get done, I would fear that they would go, okay, should we talk about food and move on? And I'm like, fuck, no, don't just put that out as it is.
I meant bullfighting.
Yeah, I meant bullfight. You know when the ball just goes, sod this guy, flips him.
Yeah.
And then all the crowd run up.
Mm-hmm. Where do they run? The crowd run.
Are you now thinking about Pamplona and the running of the bulls?
Oh, no. Well, that's when they're on the street.
Yeah.
People get flipped there too, though.
Yeah, watch that.
It's brilliant, that. Big time.
Yeah.
You watch the latest Jackass film?
No.
Johnny Knoxville got flipped by a bull.
Oh, I saw that in the trailer.
Yeah. Well,
wait, is he doing that thing where he's running down the street?
No. He's in a ranch, in a massive bull pen, and they just let they let the bull in, and the bull is angry.
Not been tamed.
And it goes through him like he's not even there, full speed.
Yeah.
And he flips twice in the air, lands, and then he's making gurgling, grunting sounds because he's swallowing his tongue.
Yeah.
And he has to go to hospital. It's bad.
They're filming all that. Yeah.
They're filming it.
Yeah, Jackass.
They're rolling on it. They're getting the footage. But he gets stacked. Like,
you'd love it. Unless you only like seeing Spanish guys get done.
Yeah, he's not Spanish.
I don't know if I... how old were you when Jackass was on?
12 or 13, probably the first time round.
Teenager.
Was it on terrestrial television?
MTV.
No, see, this is I didn't see this.
You watched Jackass?
I don't think I did.
Do you not remember the first movie coming out? That was a big thing.
Yeah, I remember the movie.
Yeah. Did you like it? Is it your sort of thing?
No, it wasn't my sort of thing. I didn't like wrestling either.
No?
I liked kind of
quite different.
But you and your brothers didn't want to go and watch it? Because I know you and your brothers, you know, were quite close growing up and running around together.
Mm.
And, like, I don't know if, like, you would want to go and watch the Jackass film together and it would capture your imagination and you'd be talking about it afterwards, wanting to do Jackass stuff.
No. I remember seeing films I've seen with my brothers.
Yep. Yep.
I saw The Dark Knight, my brother.
Yeah.
I saw Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And I saw, what was the film before Pirates of the Caribbean? It was an amazing pirate film before the franchise.
It's not made by the same people. It's
no, it's like a one-off
film that kind of made a great,
yeah.
Muppet's Treasure Island?
No. Late 90s. Absolutely incredible. Went to that.
Absolutely incredible.
Oh, brilliant film.
Don't bother, Benito.
Oh, I'm curious now about what big pirate film John and his brothers went
huge,
to see.
Huge. Babe. Saw Babe.
That's not a pirate film. It's about a pig. That's not a pirate film.
John. Yeah.
Saw Babe.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes, when you think you saw a film when you were young, and you can't really remember the exact year, and then you look it up, and then you kind of just imagine that like that year?
What do you mean? What?
What do you think I mean? Like, you know, you look up Babe. It was 1996. And then I just remember us getting in the car and going to my nan's for like a late night, 1995. Oh, yeah. It wasn't my nan then. Who was that?
Oh, no. That's a very precise... Well, she wasn't born in 95.
Oh, my nan?
Why would it not be your nan in 95, but it would have been in 96?
Apparently in 96 you're going to visit your nan.
It must have been my nan. Who else am I going then?
Well, why is that out of the question? You were like, 96, I'm probably going to my nan's. 95, I wouldn't be my nan then. Was she not born? What's going on?
My nan was born by 95.
Yeah? Well, why aren't you going to visit her? But in 96 you are. Weren't on speaking terms?
Maybe I was a bit cool. By 90, you know, a bit like, oh, no, I'm out.
You were out in 95, cool. But back in 96.
No. I was in 95.
Yeah.
I was happy to go see my nan.
Yeah.
Biscuit Tin.
That's her nickname?
Telly on. Nice and cosy in there.
Nice and cosy. Mm. What were you watching on telly at your nan's
house? Do you know what? I remember, the best room. I don't know. Maybe it's an Irish thing, but the front room of a house is like the best room. So
right.
Like if they have guests over or something, my family have it as well. Like this posh kind of room that isn't used.
Yeah.
But then when you're entertaining, this is the room that's used. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, I don't know, my nan was in there with my mum and I was on my own in the back room where the telly was. Huh?
The worst room.
Yeah.
Put him in there.
Terrible room.
As soon as you get in, get in the back room, John.
I wanted to go to the back room.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the TV was.
There's not a TV in the best room.
How's it the best room?
No, that's where you talk. How can you call
it the best room if there's no telly in it?
There's a fire. There's a real fire in there.
Oh, great.
And you talk. You talk, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not, they didn't want to talk to you.
I was in the back room.
Yeah.
I was happy to be in the back room.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the... Brass Eye, the pedo one.
Yeah.
But I was at the age where I didn't understand satire or...
Pedos.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I had no idea what I was watching.
Yeah.
Like, you know, proper taking imagine watching that and taking it completely literally.
Imagine being all the rest of the family in the best room. No idea.
I know.
Yeah.
Where's John?
And I had the volume down.
Probably in the back room watching some comedy about pedos.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And taking it at face value.
Well, sometimes my dad, I know he wanted a break maybe.
Mm.
You could see adults taking breaks from the best room, come into the back room, and you could see this is where they have a breather.
Yeah.
And they just watch a bit of telly, and they chat to you, and they have a biscuit or whatever, and they got to go back and chat.
It doesn't seem like it's the best room if people are having to...
No, but the best room, it's like it's where you have the best china, bowls of like, you know, crisps, fire roaring... And it's where the talking is happening.
Yeah.
The adults are talking, you know what I mean? Whereas I'm in the back room.
Watching a show about pedos.
Yeah, and they have
I didn't know what it was about.
When they've
I wasn't laughing, though, I remember
too
that.
Too much of being in the best room, they're tired. I'm going to go and sit with John for a bit.
Yeah.
not to talk to him.
I need a breather from all this great stuff.
Honestly, they didn't talk to me. I'll say this, It all goes over my head, that stuff.
What? Humour or satire? Or
like high satire. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is Four Lines not...
Yeah, Four Lines is also... What do you think Four Lines is?
What, as far as...
It does humour.
It's a funny show. It's a funny film.
Yeah.
What, like Dumb
Rubber
and Dumber?
Dinghy Rapids, huh? That's a funny film.
Yeah, sure.
Doesn't get any better than that.
It's still good. It's still quite
that
good all the time.
That is so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
What bit are you thinking of right now?
I'm thinking of, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. I'm picturing him in his orange suit.
Yeah.
Wiggling his bum.
Do you know what bit I'm picturing?
Which?
Diarrhea.
Yeah. Yeah.
The squeaky fart at the end that makes him laugh.
Yeah, the little squeaky.
Me and my brothers are always, you drop the salt. It only chucks the salt pepper over his shoulder.
Oh, salt, yeah.
That's all we did.
It's supposed to salt shake over his shoulder.
That's all
I think
did.
That's the film I've seen the most.
Yeah, yeah. I used to watch it all.
Could do the whole script.
Recorded it off TV. Had to fast forward through the adverts every time we rewatched it. Worth it.
You know, I saw it at a mate sleepover.
Uh-huh.
And was it 12? Was it a 12?
Yeah, it was a 12, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't old enough to watch it.
Mm.
When my mum picked me up, I refused to say what film we'd watched. And it just got weird, obviously, because I was just refusing to say it.
Yeah.
And obviously, so she just thinks, what the fuck?
She thinks you've watched porn, John, is what she thinks at that point.
She's thinking, I'll get it out of him. Surely no child can be comfortable with huge, long silences. She'd met a match.
Also, you didn't watch the same film as the rest of them, because you're in a different room. You're in the back room.
Yeah.
They were all sleeping, having a big sleepover together, watching Dumb and Dumber. You're in some back room watching Rescuers Down Under.
Great film.
Yeah.
Beautiful music at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a stunning film. Absolutely gorgeous film.
Yeah.
I referenced it on Taskmaster. They cut it out.
Oh, really?
Because no one understood what I was talking about. I said the bit, I was imagining the bit where, you know, when he's climbing up the comb, the hair comb, to get into the bottle. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's a mouse, by the way. I said I was trying to do that on a task. No, everyone's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
When you asked if the TV aerial was a ladder?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I remember that. One of many good questions you asked on the show. My favourite question being, what, so we don't get another go? That's it. No, John, you're out. What, I don't get another go? No one's ever asked that on the show. They just accept how TV shows work. What, I don't get another go? No, you're on Taskmaster.
You're right, John.
You should let people have another go. I don't know. Let them have another go.
You're on tour, John.
Huh?
Yeah.
The Vanishing Days.
Yeah.
Very exciting to be back out on the road.
I think so, yeah. Well, truth is, I've sold some tickets.
Yeah. Great. As well you should.
So I think that'll be... well, that's different from last time.
Spice it up a bit.
Yeah. People in the room.
Yeah.
Well, it's exciting.
Okay.
Though.
Yeah, no, I'm
a lot of people discovering you now. You've been doing, I'd say, immaculate, phenomenal shows for years. And now they get to... I'm excited for all these people who get to see you for the first time and discover the world that you create on stage. Fair to say, John? A whole world.
I guess so. I think, I don't know, it's I don't know if you've ever worried about this.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think, Ed, you probably...
your response into worries immediately.
Yeah.
Well...
People get to discover your phenomenal, immaculate shows. I'm worried.
No, like, I'm not worried.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I am slightly different to maybe how I am on television. Like, for example, Ed... I don't know, people listening to this, seeing you on telly, they go see you live. Yeah, there's like a nice line there.
There's a connect. Yeah.
Yourself, James, you've played with character.
Played.
Persona.
Dabbled.
He's dabbled, yeah.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah.
even your last show, which I saw, you know, there's nice things being, you know, you're playing with nice things there.
Yeah.
When it comes to front.
Yeah.
And then what's in the back?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a shop.
Yeah.
There's a shop. You're like, your shop You're waving. You leave your door open.
Yeah.
And you're stood at the counter, which is way back, and you're just waving.
Yeah.
And there's a window open behind you, and yeah. I can see the shop.
You see straight through me.
It's like one of those Scandinavian kind of clothes shops where they sell like four white shirts.
Nice shop. Lovely shop.
What I mean? It's classy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know what you get, and it's just bang. It's just good stuff.
Yeah.
James's shop, it's open, but the door's shut. It's a fantastic front shop though.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's like Victorian almost. Like, do you know what I mean? Like beautiful shop. You want to go in. You're intrigued.
Yeah. But what's in there?
You open the door. There's a little bell. Dee, 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 dee.
Yeah. Whimsical bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little whimsy British bell. They don't have that in America.
No.
That's why they love you over there.
Yeah. They're not used to the bell.
Your little bell when you open the door.
I think that's me. I think that's my thing. It's not. Yeah. Ten a penny, man.
Door shut straight, like it's got a snap to it, like a fire exit door almost.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
It's quite scary, that.
Bang. Yeah.
You're in.
Sinister,
completely empty shop. But then there's a door. Yeah, there's a door. Yeah. And then it's like, I don't know, it's like 2001. It's like a... What's that plinth thing in 2001? It's like that. And you walk towards like this orb.
Yeah.
You go in.
It ran out of steam, that, didn't it?
Well, allow me to return the analogy.
What's my shop like?
The front looks like it's boarded up. People are like, oh, is this it's a bit of a fixer-upper, I guess. It looks like it's falling apart, but it's got some charm to it. Mm. They open the door, everything's on fire.
So I'll go take see fire. John. I thought you were going to go like, you know, like a film set.
Yeah, yeah.
You open it and it's just like
the whole front.
Yeah, it's a facade.
It just falls down. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's just nothing there.
Yeah, but you fit perfectly through the doorway.
But here's the thing with comedy.
Yeah.
Whose shop would I rather have? I'd rather work in Ed's shop. I'd rather have a shop. I don't like my shop.
Yeah.
But you have to have the shop. You have to have the shop that you
have. But you never want to work in your own shop, though. No one wants to work in their own shop.
Because you've got to deal with all the, you know, all the tax and stuff. It's stressful. Yeah. Much nicer going to someone else's shop.
Yeah, have a little browse.
It's like restaurants. Like there's a restaurant near me. Yeah. There was a sign on the door going, "We're a dark restaurant now."
What?
You know, dark restaurants where they just become takeaway only.
Oh, I thought you meant like one of the restaurants where you have to eat in the dark.
Yeah, that's a gimmick some places do.
The Japanese say that harsh lighting, low lights, cuts the app. No, is it bright lights or low lights?
Oh my god!
Bright lights.
I would say
in a restaurant.
I've never seen anyone go into something so confidently and then fall apart so quickly. Because there was no, like, we're just talking about. You can be like, oh, about these dark restaurants or whatever. And then, right, I've got something here.
Yeah, I do.
The Japanese.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. Japanese.
And also, I'd say, if I'm starting any sentence that starts with the Japanese.
Yeah, you got to follow.
I bet I damn well know where it's going.
I know where it's going.
Yeah, go on.
The Japanese, in Japanese restaurant, in Japanese culture, harsh lighting isn't a thing. Uh-huh. Japanese culture in restaurants, harsh lighting cuts the appetite in half. Low lights keeps you hungry. So in this restaurant, I want the lights low.
Okay.
I want little candles flickering around.
Yeah.
And I want to be in a little booth.
Mm-hmm.
I want the booth to be higher than my head.
Yeah.
So I can't see. I hate the booths where you've just got head. Do you know what I mean?
Huh?
You know the booths? You know you get put in a booth?
Yeah.
But you can still see someone's head.
On the other side of the booth.
I know what you mean.
Like, so you're sat.
Yeah.
And the booth goes up to your neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you can't stand that.
And if you're sitting, you might almost sitting back to back with someone else you don't know.
You just
and
see these heads bobbing about.
If you put your head back, you could almost touch someone else's head, couldn't you?
I don't want to see it. I want the booth where you're like, bang, you're like locked in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like there's a pub in Northern Ireland which has...
The Crown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stained glass booths.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's what I want.
I didn't go there thanks to fucking Phil Wang.
What?
I was meant to go. Went to do Mastermind. Wang was on the same day he recorded as me, different episode.
Yeah.
I was like, Wang, let's go out. I found where they do the best seafood chowder. Let's go there. Afterwards, we'll go to the Crown. That's meant to be great. Comes out for the chowder, then goes, oh, I'm not going to come to the Crown. I'm going to go home and revise.
For what?
For Mastermind the next day.
Oh my God.
I couldn't believe
my
ears. I didn't want to go to the Crown on my own, so I ended up going back to the hotel as well. But I was like, are you joking me, Wang? You're revising. And he was like, yeah, got to revise.
Isn't the whole point of what you pick on Mastermind is that you know it?
Well, kind of, but people revise for it because they want to make sure they win. But it's, you win the same amount of money for your charity. So as soon as they told me that, I was like, I'm not revising. So I didn't.
Did you do ice cream?
Yeah, I did history of ice cream. Yeah. History of ice cream. Didn't revise. Absolutely.
You were terrified beforehand, though.
Really terrified beforehand because they make you feel scared.
Well, they play that music, don't they?
Well, the whole thing is like, apparently the guy who created Mastermind, he was captured during a war and interrogated, and that's how he got the idea for the show.
Really?
Yeah. From that. So it's all designed to make you absolutely feel just like panicked and anxious. So it works. The whole day is like,
this
oh,
isn't
man.
Humphrey's era, is it?
No, this is Clive.
Clive, oh, that's... Well, I'd feel...
Lovely
I'd,
man.
I'd have comfort with Clive.
Yeah. I was like, oh, at least...
I wasn't scared.
At least I'm there now. At least I'm not doing it back in the day.
Yours was yours food based?
No, I did 30 Rock, so I just had to watch 30
How did
Rock.
You both do? I don't know.
I did all right.
Second from last here.
I came joint second.
Phil Wang, oh, Phil Wang,
Charlie Higson,
his episode.
What was his?
New Zealand wines.
Yeah, wines.
What's he got? What's he got in front of him? Reading labels? Wine. Come on, man.
What would your special subject be before we?
I don't know.
Get onto your menu. You don't know.
Do you know what? No, I think I'm.
Houses of Parliament.
Yeah, you were a tour guide at Houses of Parliament. You know shitloads about it.
No. This is the problem. This is what scares me about that show. You think you know stuff.
Yeah.
I think I know more than the average person about the history of the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah.
But sat opposite Clive, that spotlight on me.
Mm.
I don't know. I think I'm freezing.
You're freeze, just like you did the Taskmaster. That's what Munya said to you, right? Every time you get asked a question, you freeze.
He did say that, but he said that's why I was funny.
Oh, yeah, hey, no one's disputing that.
He said...
We're laughing, aren't
he? He said, you know why you're funny? Yeah. I said, no, I don't, Munya. He said, because when you ask a question, you freeze. I'm in no rush, I don't know. What's the rush? All this people constantly rushing to answer the questions. Just chill, man. Let it brew. Let it brew. Maybe Parliament or maybe Lucian Freud. I like him.
Really? I didn't know you knew a lot about Freud.
Well, I'm interested in him.
When was he born?
30s.
Immediately lost in last place.
Really?
You can't say that? You got to do a specific year.
Well, no, because I think the question would then have to be, what year was he born?
Yeah, well, get Clive to ask that.
You'll get Clive to ask that.
I'll go, might have been 20s.
Yeah.
You'll say that.
Don't know when he was born.
You say, ask me roughly what decade he was born in.
Sure, that's kind of... No. But if I go on Mastermind and the first question is, when was he born? I'd be like, that's not why I'm here. Like, that's route one.
Yeah.
I've just been revising.
Yeah.
I've just spent the past, since I was confirmed, probably someone's dropped out, so 2 days. I've been cracking through that biography on double speed on the speakers.
Yeah, but what's the on the first page, probably?
No, it's not 100% wrong. You've never opened a biography and the first page says when they're born. No way.
I think you it know probably
that.
Does,
no,
mate.
No. You know. No. The last page isn't when they die. It's that is not how biography works.
What's the first page?
Autobiography. Huh?
What's the first page?
First page of a biography.
If it's not when they're born,
what is it then?
If it's not such and
no,
such
no,
as
do you know, they always start with like a weird moment, thing that like really sums them up.
Yeah.
Is that autobiography?
No, autobiography, you open it up, the first chapter is usually why they're famous, why the person has bought it. So if an X Factor winner writes their autobiography, guaranteed, you open the page, it's about X Factor. Chapter 2, 3 is about where they're born.
Yeah.
I reckon birth date, first page.
No, that's wrong. Lucian Freud was told to, before he goes to a party, have a wank in the taxi because it makes your eyes shine.
Right.
I've had it with this job. I hate this job. It took me 2 hours to get this guy to stop wanking in the back of my cab today. On his way to a party.
Oh, yeah. He was angry.
So you telling us that because you think that's the sort of question that Clive Myrie might ask you?
What advice was Lucian Freud given about going to parties?
To make his eyes shine.
Have a wank
How
in a taxi.
How would Lucian
make
Freud
sure his
make his eyes shine? He would have a wank in the back of a taxi.
Yeah, that's
correct,
tough.
John.
That's tough.
When was he born? Fuck off.
That's not why I'm here. That's
no,
not
I'm not.
Here.
Dates. Dates. Come on. Dates. Look up the dates, Clive. You could look up the dates. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not like a robot.
If one last question before we get into talking about
food. Yeah, we should talk about food.
If you were on Mastermind,
yeah,
and one of the people you were up against was a robot, would you complain about that? Would you complain if you were up against a robot?
I'm competing. Who else am I competing with? A robot?
Yeah, one of them's a robot.
Right.
So the other two people are Cheryl Baker.
Linford Christie.
And Linford Christie. And then the fourth person is an AI robot.
Well,
and everyone knows it. It's not like...
Yeah, it's clearly a robot.
They're a celebrity because they're the first AI that's can pass the Turing test.
Wow.
Do you complain and say this isn't fair? Or do you just go, it's for charity, who cares?
I'm absolutely delighted to meet this robot. Make sure I get a picture with them.
Yeah.
And I just sit back and wait. They'll be able to do the dates.
Yep.
Mm.
But they won't be able to do the kind of, you know, emotion.
What emotion?
That's never been one of the questions on Mastermind is how do you
okay,
feel
robot
when this
sits there. You're the best contestant we've ever had on Mastermind.
Yeah.
Somehow I managed to get through 40 questions with you. And also your general knowledge is insane. We got a 50. You got 90 points. Just sat there, bored. No emotion. Place erupts. I'm probably on my feet clapping. Just sat there. That's where I go. He can't enjoy it. You know, we know a lot of people who have great success.
Yeah.
We all know very wealthy people. But do they enjoy it? So that's what I think when I see the robot. I'll be like, yeah, you've beat me fair and square. Yeah. I've never known anyone get 90 in Mastermind.
Yeah.
But you just sat there, mate. You're just waiting to be taken back to your little box. So I don't care. He can have the win. See what I care. I don't care.
Still or sparkling water is how we always start on the podcast, John. As you take a swig of water there.
Tap water. Still tap water.
So your dream meal.
Yeah.
You would like tap water.
I mean, you can pick it. People pick it.
People pick it, but I'm just...
James has come out the gates very...
I'm just checking.
Very confrontational
nan,
here.
She Sorry. Couldn't believe...
It's too much fun for me to pick
Yeah,
holes
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
my nan couldn't believe how much water me and my brothers drank.
Because you're watching all those pirate films. Getting all thirsty.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I just remember she'd like laugh about. She'd be like, "I've never known children to drink as much water as you boys." I don't think old people. She grew up in Ireland, like on a farm and stuff in like the 1930s. I don't think they drank much water. I think it was like milk and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and also, old people don't drink a lot of water. Do you know this?
No,
it's true. You got to get off. You gotta get old.
Just a drunk milk.
Get old people don't drink enough water because they don't want to go up and down the stairs. It's true. It's okay. True. And they get tired and they get dehydrated.
Yeah.
So when she was laughing at us, going, "God, you boys drink so much water," I remember thinking, "You need to drink some water."
how old were you?
10, 15. But she would laugh about it. Like, because we'd always have water with food. And she'd be like, "This is crazy." She just wouldn't understand why we'd do it.
And do you still like water a lot as well? Do you drink a lot of water now?
Well, I probably don't drink as much as I should. But then I always think I need to drink, you know. If I'm feeling tired or anything, it's always, always water.
Yeah.
That really is, well, it's not always, but you know what I mean. It's get a pint of water down and you're fine.
Peps you up.
I've got a nice jug that I might have put out, like, you know, with the meal. Nice jug of water.
You got a jug at home that you like to use?
I've got four jugs.
Take us through them and
I've
rank
them.
I've got a big
big jug like you might put squash in for kids. You know, like one you might have had in the you know, when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, your mum had like a big jug.
Yeah.
And that was like a fun jug, and it had like patterns on it and stuff. Yeah. So I've got one of them.
What patterns on it?
orange and lemons.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I don't, that's too big. I don't put that out for a meal. That's too big.
Yeah.
If it's just me for, and my partner.
Like a mum's fun jug just for like events.
Well, yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I rarely use it. Then there's a couple of other jugs in there.
Take us through them.
What? You know what jugs they are.
Well, all right. Well, there's a nice kind of, like, looks quite Greek, you know, like white and blue.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But I've never used that. I'm trying to think why. I don't know.
Would you put flowers in it maybe if you weren't using it for water?
Yeah, but the flowers have long stems, and I know you can cut them before anyone says anything. And I did have a pink jug, a beautiful pink jug. My I don't know. Well, I guess a food podcast makes me think about my grandparents, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But my nan, for Christmas, growing up in Ireland, would get a jug of jam.
What?
That would be their present.
A jug of jam?
Yes. I don't know.
How big is this jug? Bigger than a jam jar?
Well, for Christmas a few years ago, before she passed, I bought her a jug. And I went to a very posh place. I didn't realise how much this jug was going to cost me. My God. And then I put a jar of jam in it.
As in the whole jar, or you scooped out the...
I put the whole jar.
Yeah, the whole jar in it.
So you didn't pour the jam into it?
Well, I was thinking about that. But then I was like, she's not going to eat that much jam. Anyway, I washed my son's hair with that jug now. Full disclosure, I used to. And then I think... someone's broken it and isn't admitting it because I can't find this jug now.
Oh, shit.
And I've asked my mum, who went round when we were away. I've asked Gabby. Everyone's going, don't know, must be somewhere. That's gone. Someone's dropped it.
Someone's dropped it.
And he's not admitting it to me.
Yeah.
Because it cost me 50 quid for a jug. I mean, Christ.
Yeah.
That is expensive for a jug.
I didn't know.
It?
Do you know what? I went into the shop. It was a guy, like, ceramicist.
Yeah.
He stood there or surrounded. And, you know, I mean, what, you think how much is a jug going to cost? You're like, yeah, you're right, mate. He's like, brilliant. You like that? Looks brilliant, mate. Wrapping it up for me. And then he tells me 50 quid.
Yeah.
And because he's like a little, tiny little shop just making his pots, what are you going to do?
What did the front of the shop look like?
Do you know what? It's just a door. It's white.
Yeah.
And then there's a little poster saying kids can come in and make pots.
So it doesn't really prepare you for the fact you're going to go in there and everything's really expensive.
And spend 50 quid.
I tried to reason that, you know, it must cost a lot, but nah, he just probably sells one a week. That's why. So that's gone. Don't know where that is.
But you wash your kid's head with it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So
pouring it over his head.
Your grandmother would get a jug of jam every Christmas. Why?
Why? Well, there's not a Toys R Us in the west of Ireland in 19 whatever year it was. So, I don't know when Toys R Us was invented, but
so they have a jug of jam.
If there was a Toys R Us, in Ireland, in the 1920s, they're going.
By the way, that's the second time on the podcast you've changed something from the 1930s to the 1920s.
They can't believe what they're seeing. This the giraffe. I don't know. They've probably never seen a giraffe. Plus, you think the giraffe's crazy? Step inside.
Yeah.
So it was a jug of jam.
You know, like Christmas. You know, like 1999 or whatever it was. Mm.
1985.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Do you remember, like, you know, they always do the Christmas is the best.
Toys
it is what us. Kids want.
Yeah.
The advert.
But, they'd always be the top-selling toy for Christmas. It would be the one that everyone wanted. So, right.
Teletubbies.
Tracy Island.
30s Island. It was a jug of jam.
And it never changed. Remained a jug of jam forever.
I know. I was the first person to buy one.
Oh, you were doing it like
it's
a
lovely,
callback.
It's a lovely touch.
It was a lovely. It shows I was listening.
Yeah,
that's good.
I don't think she can be arsed with it. Because, you know, she now knows Toys R Us. John Lewis.
She's seen the giraffe now, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's seen the giraffe. She doesn't need a jug of jam.
What are you giving me a jug of jam for? I had these back when there was shit back then.
No, but I bought... What, you think I'm just buying... Like a normal jar of jam?
No, go on. How much did the jam cost you?
I think it was like a posh, you know, like a Tiptree one.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, you know, like you can sometimes find shops where they sell absolutely thousands of variations of raspberry jams, strawberry jams. Yeah, I bought one of them.
Strawberry?
Yeah, strawberry jam.
Pop it up, absorb bread! Pop it up, absorb bread, John Cairns! Pop it up, absorb bread!
Bread, please. Can I have some bread, please? Thank you.
Are you going to act it out like you're ordering it as well?
Yeah.
For the whole thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great. No, I love it.
Your little low-lit restaurant.
Hello there. May I have some bread, please? The bread I'd like is, it's like, well, it's a focaccia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sun-dried tomatoes and rosemary.
Love it.
But I'd like it, I'd like the one they sold in Sainsbury's in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Because it felt, when my parents were entertaining, that was like the only time this bread would be out.
Yeah.
And it felt posh.
Yeah.
It felt crazy. It'd come out the oven warm.
Is it the one that came in the foil?
Yeah.
The foil tray, yeah? You bought it in the foil tray, warm it in the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that. Yeah.
I'm fully behind this. So far, all of your stories, I can't relate to any of them. The good room, jugs of jam. I don't know what, this isn't my childhood. I'm not belittling it.
No, I know.
I'm not poo-pooing it or dismissing it.
Thank you.
But I'm like, got to get my head round them.
Yeah.
The 90s focaccia from Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Coming out when the parents are entertaining.
Yes.
Absolutely my childhood. I know the exact one that you mean.
Yeah.
And it was the first I'd ever heard of that kind of bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Very, I mean, my memory of it is quite doughy.
Doughy and oily.
Oh, yeah. It's oily. I've never been a thin child, or well, thin adult. Lots of butter.
Yeah,
so much butter on it.
You're buttering up the focaccia.
Christ, yeah.
Oh man,
I know. Wow. My mum used to put butter on croissants.
I do that.
Well, I do that.
If I'm having a croissant now, I'm block of butter croissant.
Yeah,
I'm buttering up the croissant chunk by chunk.
Yeah.
Jam.
Yeah, I do that.
Straight from the jug.
A good jam, pour it over.
They should sell jam in jugs. Instead of a jar, why don't you put a little funnel on it? Anyway, the focaccia from Sainsbury's. But yeah, I wanted that particular one because, you know, my parents were very good at entertaining. My mum was a really kind of good cook and my dad would do the bar. My mum did the food.
The bar?
That would be his job. He'd get the bar going.
Did he have like a little bar set up? Or do you mean he just did the drinks?
Yeah, he just did the drink.
Yeah.
I used to drink like Canada. Yeah. But like, you know, they'd have like the thing. And I used to like, when they'd go out, I'd like down like little Canada dries thinking they were like alcohol.
Ah, so you thought you were getting on it.
Yeah.
They know. He's drinking another Canada dry again, sneaking.
They've all gone again.
He thinks he's pretending to be... He's placeboed himself in thinking he's drunk.
He's filled him back up with water, but he can't shut the can, so it's just an open can of water again.
It's an open can of water. That's why his grandmother thinks he drinks so much water.
He's put his pants on his head. He thinks he's drunk.
Oh, God. But yeah, I'd like that bread, please. I want it in like a rattan wicker kind of basket with like a nice kind of napkin in there.
Now, was that how your parents would do it when they were entertaining?
Oh, honestly, I have strong memories of those nights where, you know, there's laughter, there's music. My mum does the spread, the food. You know, I don't know, salmon, beef bourguignon, profiteroles, prawn cocktails. Dad's, he's got ales lined up. Yeah. And they're lined up like, the label's all facing the way. And fantastic.
What I like about you, I like a lot of things about you, John. One of the things I like about you is how fond you are of memories.
Yeah.
The present for you is frustrating that you have to put up with it because it's not a memory yet that you can look back on and refer to it in a way.
Do you know what? That's very, very astute.
Yeah, that is
good.
I think a lot of comedians think like that.
Yeah,
because the dread of going to the gig.
Sure.
You're thinking, I can't wait for this to be a memory.
In the past, yeah. Yeah. In 10 years' time, you'll be talking about this, going, oh, I remember it. Ed and James sat there. Benito. Box of tissues.
That's how you remember everything, is a list of, like, microphones, Diet Cokes, happiness, talking.
But don't you think, we've all had this, when you go past venues where you've gigged when you were younger, or venues that aren't venues anymore. I sometimes stand around them, just, you know, walk and look up and picture, you know, see myself gigging or that.
Yeah.
Also, you giving yourself the respect, seeing your young, feeling your younger self walking into that door, doing a gig, being absolute crap. You're like, where'd I get the balls to do that?
I think that bread choice
I'm very excited by that.
It's lovely. I
distinctly remember that foil
it's
tray.
It's warm.
Yes.
And, you know, now I'd have it with a bit of oil, obviously, and all that, but I want a big slab of Anchor butter.
Yeah.
Mm. Salt.
Salty.
I want it salty. I want it hot. I want it doughy. And, you know, I want to tuck in.
Do you reckon you'd do the whole tray? Or are you sharing it with someone?
In my mind, in this booth, I think, what's a good number? I reckon I've got about, four friends around me.
Four friends. Yeah. Any particular friends?
Nah.
No?
No.
Just general
in
friends.
In my mind, like, again, I'm trying to picture this meal. They're just kind of like shapes.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing kind of like heads fly back laughing.
And, yeah.
Well, I'm imagining who I always imagine when your stories.
Who?
Your brothers. Always I imagine you with your brothers. I don't know why. There's something funny to me. About you and your brothers. I've never met them.
Have you not met them?
But I love the stories that you have about you and your brothers. You always just sound like you were running around the three of you. Just well, like yeah, little we naughty were. Kids from the Beano.
I imagine you like the farmers from Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're beautiful boys. They are beautiful boys.
Yeah, yeah.
They're handsome. Very yeah. handsome. And, yeah, we try and go for a meal every year. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I mean this seriously. It's nice that we all get on and have a nice time. Mm. You know, you meet people, as you get older, you meet people that are like, I've got mates that don't mention that, like you wouldn't even know they had a brother or sister. So I feel lucky that we get on. Although we did go to Hawksmoor once and didn't quite realise the pricing, how they did the pricing.
It seems to be a Cairns issue in general, doesn't it?
What, a little bit of a pattern.
Not just going in, ordering, just taking what you want and then finding out about the price at the end and getting really angry about it.
Acting indignant like
no, do you know what happened?
Their fault, or they lied to you.
The table next to us started laughing when we ordered and then the waiter walked off and they were laughing. And I was like, is there a problem here? And they went, do you know what you've just ordered? They're like, yeah, yes, thank you. Yes, thank you.
What did you order? What was the order?
God knows, but the steak was like Flintstone steaks.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Car flipping over thing.
Yeah.
So I had to go up to go and went, yeah. We got that wrong. Also, I didn't like that waiter. I was looking at the waiter like, you knew we got that wrong.
Did you order like three massive, yeah.
But, you know, I didn't like that. The waiter, I thought, do you know what, mate? You knew what we did there. Like, we can't afford that.
It's you and your brothers.
Yeah, they were laughing. Because I think I ordered it. I ordered the too expensive steak.
But you're saying to the waiter.
But then, you know what? It's like that kind of thing where you're trying to ride it. You go, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Do you? It's massive. I'm like, nah. Do you know what? Oh, is it massive? Oh, I actually didn't know that. But you know what? I'm having fun, so sod it. I'm having it. But then there's like another, do you know what it is? Yeah, I've had steak before, mate. No, but this is quite expensive. You're looking at £70 steak. Well, lucky me. Mate, there's going to be a day I can't afford that. So why don't I tuck in now? Well, I just don't think you can afford it. As in, stomach big wise. Like you can afford it, but you can't afford it, like health wise.
Stomach big wise.
Stomach big wise, you can't afford
stomach
it.
Stomach big wise, yeah.
Stomach big wise.
He's on the piano.
It's a character you've done. Stomach big wise, yeah.
Yeah, he's on the piano. I don't know, but anyway, yeah. But the waiter, he was naughty, kind of laughing, giggling away. That's not a waiter. If I'm a waiter, I'd go.
Because he knew you couldn't afford it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and then it'd be like a cartoon where you got to wash the dishes.
Yeah, because you couldn't afford it.
Do you think that's ever happened?
I'd love to do that.
Does it ever happen where someone can't afford the bill so they have to wash the dishes?
Well, you grow up thinking that.
In my mind, that was the law. That was the law. Like, you could do that. You could go and wash the dishes if you couldn't
sorry,
pay for
mate.
A meal.
Turns out I can't afford that. Get yourself in the kitchen. You've got to clean every plate.
Yeah. But there's someone in the kitchen.
I'd go to the Ritz.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, pardon me. I seem to have, I don't seem to have any money. Put these on, mate. Here's some gloves. Brilliant.
Also, there is a guy in the kitchen.
Tomorrow.
There is a guy in the kitchen doing that, right?
Yeah.
Who presumably is not being paid per dish, so he's being paid all day.
He's happy to see you.
He's happy. He's great. He's, well, I'd imagine if that system would work. He doesn't wash a plate all day.
Maybe he gets to go and sit upstairs and have a meal.
And have a meal, yeah.
Yeah, on you.
So the restaurant's losing money hand over fist here.
Yeah.
Meal for the pot wash, yeah. Meal for the person who's stolen one. Yeah. They're paying a pot washer all day and then someone else gets a free meal. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. In this restaurant, big sign outside.
Yeah.
If you can't afford this, you're going to be... If you at the end, if you order all that food and you get your receipt and you go, I don't have any money, then you're cleaning all the pots. And so you hire the kitchen guy and then he gets to go upstairs. There's a queue outside the block.
Yeah.
Also, people want the job because they're like, well, hang on a minute. If you're hiring me to be the guy who cleans the pots, but people queuing outside are going to be cleaning the pots. A lot of money being lost.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
You arrive at your dream starter.
Yeah.
Now you got your notes there on your phone because you're taking this seriously. You're not messing around. John, this is twice now.
Oh, sorry. Is it really?
I didn't mention it the first time.
It's these twice cups. Now. It's these cups. Honestly,
twice
these
now.
Cups. These are
you've
trick
taken
cups.
Too big a swig of your water, like a massive swig, and it is cascaded out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Down your beard and over your chest.
Well, now I know what your nan was laughing at.
And soaking your jumper.
Is... Wasn't how much water you drank, it's because you couldn't get it in your fucking mouth.
First time, absolutely ignored it. It was a mistake, you did that. Second time just then.
It's the cup.
Not learning from the first it's time. The
that's not straight, is it? That's bent.
It's a glass. We're drinking out the same cup.
It's a glass, it's a glass. That's not straight, is it? That's bent. That's circular. Right, onion soup. And a saucer of aubergine parmigiana.
What?
That's what I want. Please. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
French
That's
onion soup.
French onion soup. So
lovely.
Croutons. Maybe there's a bit of white wine going on in there. I don't know.
In the soup?
These onions have been sweated.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking like sweat, 5 minutes, hour. There's one guy, Brown Sugar. Oh, he's fantastic in there. I'd like to have all the doors open so I can see the chefs cooking this. By the
way. Yeah.
I want to see them.
Yeah, yeah.
So you imagine that as all the doors being open rather than being like an open plan kitchen.
No, I don't want an open kitchen.
Yeah.
I want the door ajar.
Okay.
They don't know I can see them. Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So you're peeking rather than...
You want to feel like there's something illicit about it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, peeking.
You're peeking.
Yeah, onion soup, croutons. Maybe the croutons have like... Sometimes you go somewhere posh and they've got like cheese on them.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. French onion soup, quite often there'll be cheese all over the top and it's gone in the grill, so it's melted on top and then...
Blimey.
That's good stuff.
There's cheese on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, all over it.
What, like a web? Like a web of cheese over it?
Well, they just put the cheese all over the soup and like some of it will sink in and some of it will like
melt on the top.
Oh, yeah. And then you pull it out and all those stringy bits of cheese and onion.
Yeah.
And also I've still got this basket of beautiful bread.
Yeah, you're dipping.
Yeah, and the basket is a... there's a hole underneath the basket, so it's constantly refilled.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the popcorn trick on someone, but with a bread basket.
Popcorn trick. Hand up the popcorn?
Nearly.
Knob?
Yeah.
Oh, my knob's going through the table. What, in the bread?
Well, this is what I was confused about. It's the only time I've ever heard anyone.
Knob going through the table. Why is my knob in the bread? Why is my knob in the bread basket?
You said you cut a hole in the bottom of the bread basket.
Which we still need to... I'm putting a button on that to loop back to what you're talking about.
Put a hole in the bottom of the bread basket. Cut a hole in the bottom of the bread basket. And I've only ever heard people doing that with this disgusting popcorn trick.
Yeah.
Where they cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn, they sit their knob through it. And then they offer someone some popcorn and the person goes down to the bottom for the good stuff and then they touch their dick.
Popcorn's on the lap.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
but this bread basket's in the middle of the table.
I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you're crawling under the table.
My friends are getting a bit... They're looking for... Okay, my brothers.
Or one of the shapes.
We're fishing for a bit of...
Focaccia?
Focaccia. They might grab a knob.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe you put some sun-dried tomatoes on it to disguise it.
Yeah.
Bit of rosemary.
John, so...
You'd know my knob.
It's low light restaurant.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't know your knob in low light. You can't see a thing.
You're increasing their appetite.
The Japanese say...
Yes?
That low light...
Oh, I can see why this is stressful, actually.
Low light... reduces your ability to recognise your brother's knob.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Oh, good God.
They definitely say, if you turn the lights down low,
you're able
to camouflage your knob in a...
What if they're all doing it, though, as a laugh?
Focaccia.
What if we're all doing it as a laugh? We've all thought it'd be funny to do it.
So, do you all do it at different times throughout the evening?
So all at once, you go to do it, and
you have to stuff all of your knobs through the same hole at the same time into the bread basket.
Yeah.
And you're kind of jostling for position.
Yeah, but we don't know each other doing it.
And then at the same time... and then you all reach for some focaccia and end up grabbing... Each other's knob.
Best case scenario, you grab your own knob, right?
But yeah, well, best case scenario. Yeah, best case. Best case scenario.
You'd be relieved.
You'd be relieved.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, the bread's there.
So what do you mean?
Point being, get the bread, dip it in the onion soup.
Yeah.
And then also,
John, I do need to loop back. Why does a hole in the bottom of the basket mean that the bread keeps refilling?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, in my mind... I don't know, there's a baker below us, just keeps funneling it up.
Okay. So that's more realistic than what I was saying, apparently.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep emptying, surely. Surely the bread rolls would fall out the bottom, is what Benito's saying. Is that if you cut a hole in the bottom, there's a baker funneling them up, but surely focaccia's going to be constantly tumbling back down the hole and blocking the tube.
This baker's having a nightmare.
There's a portcullis. he releases.
So every time it's empty, every time the basket's empty,
yes,
he opens the portcullis, shoves the bread up, shuts the portcullis. You better hope you don't put your knob in there if there's a portcullis.
That really.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. Be careful with the portcullis.
Yeah, all, you and all your brothers, the entire male line dies in one night.
All the cocks in the basket. And then a small little small plate of
aubergine parmigiana.
Yes, please. Yeah. Yeah, just like a little, just a little tiny, like a little, just, you know, the conversation's flowing. You know, we're dipping the breads, bit of soup, warming. You know, it's cold outside, so we've come in, low lights, and the lights are red as well. It's twinkly and nice. Anyway, and then yeah, aubergine parmigiana, very nice.
One of the best foods.
Well, I like making it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Take us through the recipe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it your signature dish?
One of.
You always used to ask people that.
You would ask stage. People that.
You would ask, people in the audience their signature dish.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, yeah. You get funny people saying toast, and you just move on. That, yeah. You just move on from that.
Well, you're asking for trouble, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to put them on the spot like that, you're asking for trouble.
You're right. Okay. Slice the aubergine lengthways.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Peel them first.
You peel them?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
This Marco Pierre White video. This is, I'm just basically saying what he does.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he your hero?
I like him a lot.
You say he's your hero?
He's hero. Don't have heroes.
Come on. You're John Kearns. You've got heroes.
No, I don't have heroes.
Springsteen.
Oh, he's class.
Is he a hero?
Do you know what? I think he's a hero. He's the same age as my dad. Have you seen the latest videos of him? He's in a grey suit, quite shiny, black shirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He looks fantastic.
He does. Yeah.
And I spoke to my dad about it, and he went, he looks great, doesn't he? And I thought, he's a role model, I think, to, like, my dad. Like, he's looking at, I reckon my dad's looking at him going, okay, I can look like that. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
I hope when I'm 70, there's a guy I can look at and go, I want to look like that.
Absolutely. So in your fantasy here, you hope that when you're 70, there is someone you can look at and hope you'll look like them. Not that you want to look like that guy.
No, I want to be 70.
Yeah.
Watching telly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a 70-year-old on telly.
Yeah.
And I want to go out tomorrow morning and buy what he's wearing.
But why aren't, I think what James is saying is, in your completely imagined fantasy here, why aren't you the guy on telly who looks great that all the other 70-year-olds are looking at and thinking, I want to buy what that guy's wearing?
Yeah, you're saying your dad watches Springsteen on TV now and goes, he looks good. And you've realised that Springsteen's a role model to him. And you're going, Joe, what? I hope that when I'm 70, and I thought the sentence was going to go, I look as good as Springsteen. But instead it was, I hope on my dad watching Springsteen going, he looks good.
I hope I have a role model.
But 70's like double my life. 70's 35 years' time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be 35 years going, I want to look like Springsteen. People will be like, huh?
No, but there might be an equivalent though, right?
That's what I'm saying. There's going to be some 70-year-old out there. But that
why can't you be the equivalent in this fantasy?
I'm guessing because I'm thinking they may be a rock and roll star or a footballer or something, you know?
Mm.
You never, who looks at a comedian and goes, I want to look like him?
I reckon, no I can one. See it.
Joel.
Zero.
Joel Dommett. People want to look like Joel.
No, I don't want, I would never want to look like Joel.
What?
Why the work? On his stag do, he did a spin class or something. My stag do, I want booze.
Oh, going to be sticking your dick in a bread basket.
35 years' time, I think there's going to be 70-year-olds out there going out the next morning and buying a wig and teeth.
Not the wig and teeth, man. That's gone. Denied. Never mentioned again. Out of my house if you bring it up.
Where are you dropping the wig and teeth?
Never. Because I won't need it.
What do you mean never? You're getting rid of it. You've got rid of it. You're never doing it again.
I haven't got rid of it.
So why can't we mention it anymore?
So why aren't you saying...
No, you can now. I'm talking about when I'm 70.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it when I'm 70.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll have the wig and teeth.
I want to make enough money where it's gone. It's 50, that's it. Comedy gone. I want to go and do something else.
What?
I don't know. Maybe like build something in Ireland or something. Build like a house or something. Run a shop. I'd love to run a shop.
Yeah.
Oh, John.
Genuinely. Like, I'd love a little book.
Tell you something, actually. You could do that now. You don't need to carry on doing comedy. You could probably run a bookshop now.
I like comedy. I like comedy. Mm.
So much that you can't wait to retire when you're 50.
I can't wait to retire. But you can love something. You don't want to do comedy till. Are you two one of these people that wants to drop dead doing it?
No, I don't want to drop dead doing anything. But like, I'd say I haven't.
I want to drop dead when I'm in like I'm in bed and I'm comfy.
Yeah, it's not dropped then, is it?
Yeah, you haven't dropped.
I don't want to drop dead. I want to just stay.
Your head drops. You got your head up at the time, and then you die, and then your head
on my deathbed. Yeah. I'll have my head up constantly, and
unsupported.
Very uncomfortable. It looks very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But just like they don't
people keep trying to shove pillows. I'm like, no.
How do you know it's your deathbed? So how do you know you get into a bed and you're like, I'm going to keep my head up?
I'll know. I'll definitely know.
Yeah.
I'll definitely know.
I bet you'll use the phrase a lot, won't you? I'm on my deathbed now. I bet you always say that to a lot of people.
Come on,
I'm on my deathbed.
Yeah, that's my deathbed. Tell my grandkids that.
Just hanging out on my deathbed.
Yeah, okay.
Have you seen my keys? I think I left my keys on my deathbed. Do you want to go and get them? Go and get them for me.
Yeah, I'm busy.
Looking
for my keys.
So you're peeling the aubergines.
Peel the aubergine. Yeah. Slice them lengthways. Bit of lemon so they don't use their colour. Egg wash. I don't think it's breadcrumbs. What am I doing? Flour.
Marco Pierre White absolutely getting furious listening to this.
Imagine him on this. You two would be shitting yourselves. Flour, egg wash. Leave them to drain. Season. Mm-hmm. You got your tomato sauce bubbling away there. Am I missing something? Feels like I'm missing something.
I don't think I am.
Parmesan. Oh, yeah, sorry, the parmesan, yeah. Right. Yeah.
What you've made so far is a fucking aubergine omelette, mate. So.
No. Loads of fucking parmesan. Layer it up, and every layer parmesan. Every layer parmesan.
Yeah.
Layer it up like a lasagna, like a jigsaw. Tomato sauce. So you layer it up. Aubergine, tomato sauce, parmesan. Layer. Keep layering. Layer. You know, it's simple. Low heat, bit of olive oil, break over some basil. I'd like a little square of that with my onion soup.
Lovely. Beautiful. Lovely. A great way to kick off the meal.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Your dream main course.
So what I'd like, please, is could I have a medium rare steak, a butler's steak, with some chips, please? And also, could I have some champagne and chicken? But it's a poulet ou champagne.
Right. So, second course in a row, you've gone for two dinners.
I respect it.
I respect it.
Do you know what's happening here?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about this, and I'm going, well, it's very obviously, it's difficult to just get it down to one.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, you're a genie, I don't know. I can ask wherever you know, kitchens, they've got what? Dream.
Yeah.
What's a butler steak?
Yeah, I've never heard of a butler steak before.
It's flat iron steak. So it's from the shoulder. So it's quite lean.
Yeah.
Why is it called a butler steak?
I think it's what the butler ate. Like, you know, he gives, he's, you know, serving all the stuff. And then at the end of the shift, when they've all got, I don't know, sirloin or ribeye, he goes down and has a little butler steak.
That's like a cheaper cut.
Cheaper cut, but very flavourful.
Quick cook, very quick cook.
Quick.
Yeah.
Shoulder, so nicely marbled.
Yeah.
I'd like that. And then the chicken and champagne, it's the sauce that I want, really.
Yeah.
You know, you know the sauce, cream, champagne, mushrooms and chicken.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh
my God, that's so nice. I'm dipping the chips in that little champagne sauce.
Yeah. Do you want the chicken as well, or do you just want the sauce from
that? Yeah, I'll have the chicken, don't care. Maybe chicken legs, thighs, chicken thighs and legs. Little...
The thighs on the leg.
Those little, like, they look like little onions.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The tiny little ones. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
They're scattered around, nice acidity.
Yeah.
Got that meat. It's on a little plate that's sizzling. It's one of those hot plates, maybe. Mm-hmm. Crystal salt, heavy salt. I need heaviness on there. Medium rare, please. Thank you.
Do you not worry with a hot plate that you have it cooked to medium rare and then if it's sat on the hot plate, it's going to overcook?
Well, maybe I'll order it rare.
And then just let it. Yeah.
And then
so the plate's a deal breaker is what you're saying.
You have to have the hot plate.
No, actually, you know what? It's not the plate.
Yeah.
Take away the plate, please. Thank you.
Do you want the chips in a separate dish that's hot?
I want the chips in like a tin, like around. I want them pointing up.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Like a metal cup, yeah. Sort of almost like a little cocktail shaker.
Yeah. Yeah, I want the chips pointing up.
The chips pointing up.
Why? Why do you want them pointing up?
I like grabbing them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Imagine a plate of flat chips. When was the last time? Actually, I'm saying this, but when was the last time you went to a restaurant and the chips were laid on their sides? That feels like something you had, like when you went around to a mate's house when you were like 10.
I think it still happens quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, but I sort of know what John means. Yeah. It's rare to go.
Imagine going to a chip shop, like a traditional chip shop, and they gave you the chips and the chips are up.
All facing up.
Yeah, you'd go, no, this isn't why I'm here.
Yeah.
Chips, steak, chicken champagne, bowl of that going on. Maybe there's some potatoes in there, some new potatoes in there. Seasoned. It's all seasoned fantastically. Mm. No salt and pepper on this table.
Yeah, don't
no
need way. It.
I don't need that. No, no, no. And then I'd like a little side of cream spinach.
Is this for your dream side dish?
Oh, sorry. Do I have to wait for you?
No, you don't have to. I was just checking that this was all. So this is a separate thing.
Well, spinach as a main is a lot.
Yeah, yes. But yeah, with your two dinners you've already got.
I'm not sure. I'm not the first person to order two dinners, am I?
No, but I'm just saying, for me to assume that this cream spinach was also part of your main course wasn't that outlandish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just checking, just clarifying that
okay,
was your
fuck it. Yeah, it's part of my main course.
No,
I don't care.
Not if it's your dream side dish.
I'll tell you what's happened here. We made up some valuable time there with John throwing the side dish.
We did.
Straight away. And now you're filling that time by asking more questions about it.
Yeah.
The listener won't know this. We've been recording for about an hour and 45 minutes so far, and we've just finished the main course.
Yeah. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
But he's in trouble when he has to edit this.
Yeah. I'll tell you where there's a fantastic cream spinach, John.
Where?
Hawksmoor.
Yeah, they do. Heavy, heavy cream.
Yeah, big cream.
In America, they call double cream heavy cream.
Imagine if that came up in your general knowledge round. Mastermind, you.
What do Americans
be happy with yourself?
Double cream.
Heavy cream. The robot there.
Yeah,
robot. How did he know that?
Yeah, robot starts malfunctioning.
Yeah.
Eyes flip to the back of his head.
Yeah.
Sparks flying.
Yeah. A guy sat in the audience, like the cheating wife in
The coffer.
The millionaire, yeah.
Yeah.
Robot can't hear. Robot's going. Programmed here in cough. Oh, my other nan, she had great vegetable patch. And growing up, all I'd eat is spinach.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. And nothing has ever tasted. Again, I know I keep talking about grandmothers and food, but it's just such a visceral thing in my life. My nan's spinach. Do you know what? And you think, how did it taste so good? It's always because it's just absolutely loaded with salt.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going to my other nan's and I just had a relationship breakup and she, I was...
We're back to the first nan now, right? It's not like a Milton Jones thing where you've got loads of nans.
Yeah.
I've got two nans.
Two nans.
Well, I had two nans. She made me this ham sandwich. And to this day, I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this ham sandwich? It was just mayonnaise, ham, lettuce, white bread. And I was very upset that day. And to this day, I'm like, that was one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life. Probably because it was loaded with salt, and also I was sad.
Mm.
And your tears, if you're sad, have more salt in it than happy tears, apparently.
What's the point?
Are you saying that you cried onto the sandwich,
and that made it salty? Or are you saying you cried all the salt out of your body, so the ham sandwich is replenishing it?
Oh, great question.
Well, you should know.
Well, yeah. I don't think I was crying eating it. Okay. So I think I'd cried all the salt out.
Yeah.
And so that is probably what it is.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it is. If you're sad listening to this, or if you're upset.
Yeah.
And you've just cried all night. Have a really salty ham sandwich and you're going to feel great.
Yeah. Would really pep you up.
It's true, by the way, your tears are saltier. How's it true? I don't know how anything's true, but it's true.
Okay.
There's other people you can ask why it's true. I don't ask
the robot.
Why.
The robot, wouldn't I?
Yeah, the robot knows, but his head's fallen off, so he's not exactly fit to answer that question, Clive.
Your nan's like, what, putting extra salt in the sandwich? Old people, mayonnaise, salt.
They load everything with salt because they can't taste anything. I've not made that up.
And so they're doing that.
Have you seen old people put salt on food?
And they're not drinking water.
Yeah, but I'm just checking.
Yeah, that's what I said. You've got to drink water.
I'll admit I've never seen an old person salt a sandwich.
No.
Personally.
What? You're bonkers. My nan would, with a meal, salt it and then put salt, like a sauce in the corner.
Salt sauce?
Like salt it.
Yeah.
And then in the corner do a little bit of, like a little pile of salt.
And she, what, she would she dip it in?
Dip it in. I don't know, eat it. Have you not? This is not a thing. Do you know what?
No,
you're all looking at me like this is mad.
Yeah, yeah, I've never seen
it before.
You
haven't spent any time with... She was 93, by the way, when she passed.
Yeah,
yeah.
They love salt. It makes sense because they can't... my partner, her nan, was 102. She got Domino's for her birthday because that's loaded with salt. She's going, I can taste this.
Oh, pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, old people play Domino's a lot.
I honestly thought...
Yeah.
She's not eating Domino's.
No, I don't think she was eating it. I don't think you said she got Domino's for her birthday. Ed and I thought
it's a food podcast. Domino's.
Yeah, but it's not unlike you to just say something completely out of the fucking blue halfway through a sentence.
Yeah.
Old people eat salt. They load it with salt. They got your taste buds go. You know this.
A 102-year-old ate a Domino's pizza.
Yeah, and the guy did 102 on the pepperoni. He did. Ask Gabby. This isn't my story. She's got a picture. Beautiful.
Your dream drink, John?
Yeah, this is, you know, it's pretty straight back, this. It's just kind of lager. And I genuinely went on the Sainsbury's website and just scrolled down the beer to see what they sell. And I was thinking, what do I like? I kind of, I don't know, I like it all. Have you ever had Pacifico?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Pacifico is good. Refreshing.
I was scrolling and I went, I haven't had that for a while. And it was out of stock near me, unfortunately. And the label has like, the O is like a little lifeguard rubber ring thing.
Yeah.
Do you know this one?
Yeah, I know that one.
So
yeah.
It's Mexican, it's crisp, it's light. Uh-huh. And I thought that might be quite nice with this meal. But it's bring your own booze, this restaurant, though. So I've got like bags of it around me.
Yeah.
But you know it's the dream restaurant as well, so we can get, you can have as much of it as you want.
We can send it up the tube, the same tube as the bread.
You could have a little tap at the table if you want to.
Yeah, I'd like a tap at the table.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I don't want a tap at the table. I want the guy to bring it to me.
Yeah.
And I want him to like slide off the foam. Oh, it comes in bottles, I suppose. I want to see him like cut the bottle off, like with a knife or something.
Like a champagne bottle. Yeah.
But with a bottle of Pacifico.
Yeah. Well, he's already done it with the champagne. Through the door, I saw him do it with the chicken and the champagne.
Yeah, yeah, you were looking.
This guy does it with everything.
The idea that a chef would do that to a bottle of champagne for a dish, but in a closed kitchen. Just completely pointless. Yeah. The only reason to do it is to show off.
Completely pointless.
And he's like, right, I've got to open that champagne, get my sabre.
Completely pointless.
I hope no one saw that through the crack in the door.
But, you know, like, drink-wise... You know, we'll come on to this, but I'd like a black coffee to end the meal.
Uh-huh.
Black Americano.
Yeah.
And I'd like maybe a little cognac with the receipt or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can do that.
Yeah. Like Remy Martin. Yeah. When I was...
Another memory coming up.
Yeah.
Here we go. John's looking down, which means there's a memory coming.
Yeah. He's looking both wistful and distressed at the same time. And he's delving into his memories.
I was distressed.
Yeah.
When I was, like, 13, I got badly sunburned.
Yeah.
And France holiday. Yeah. Like a haven. You know, the camp.
Haven holidays,
What we did. And we went to Remy Martin. We looked at the Remy Martin, what do you call it, factory?
Yeah.
There must be a posh distillery?
Is it? What?
Cognac. It was posh, man.
Yeah.
Man, all the barrels. Anyway, I got really badly sunburned, but, like, bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking... On my shoulders, I'm talking nearly having to go to the hospital.
Yeah, all peeling and
bad stuff.
Yeah. Not even that.
Yeah.
I mean, I generally won't go into it.
Blisters.
Like bubble wrap.
Yeah.
Oh, bad. I mean, I honestly think back to it and think that was horrific.
Yeah,
yeah.
But my family we used to go on holiday with, he saw I was in pain, man. I was fucked. And, you know, I was young. He had a little hip flask and he went, just have a swig of that. Or for Remy Martin cognac.
Little bubble wrap boy.
And oh, I was.
That was it.
Oh, it was like.
You're like, this makes Canada Dry seem like a soft drink.
Wait till I write to those Canada Dry bozos. You need to up your game. Ever heard of Remy Martin? Haven't been at your factory, losers. And weirdly, I bought a bottle of it. I was walking down the aisle of Sainsbury's maybe a few months ago, and it was on offer.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd like to have that at home. I don't really drink at home too much. But it's still in its box, because I'm not entirely sure when I'm going to open it.
Yeah, when do you crack a bottle of cognac? I guess it's...
I know.
So, next time you have sunburn, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we have another 40-degree day,
yeah,
I'll go for a walk. I'll come back and have a bottle of cognac.
So you can have a little cognac with the bill.
That's lovely.
Definitely.
Yeah. With my receipt. Yeah.
With your receipt.
Yeah.
Or bill.
A bill, yeah, with the bill.
Yeah.
And the bill comes in like a nice...
They don't often bring things with the receipt.
No.
Yeah, they do, like Imperial Mints.
That's with the bill.
That's with the bill.
Huh?
That'd be with the bill.
Yeah, after eight.
With a bill.
Yeah.
Not with the receipt.
No, they bring it with the receipt.
No, because the receipt, they're like, thank
they're
you
down
very...
for no reason.
No, hang on, they bring after eights with the receipt. No, see you don't. Later. Jelly beans.
Jelly beans? Who brings it? Where have you been that gives you jelly beans with the receipt?
Bannerman's in Crouch End. Bob Dylan went there once.
Well, all right. I'll call Bob Dylan and say, what did they bring you with the receipt at Bannerman's?
Jelly beans.
Well, no, this is my
great.
Dream.
Well done, that's good.
Oh, that was good. That was good. That was good.
Proud of myself there.
Well, you know, I can do what I want. Yeah, with the bill comes... no, nothing with the bill. With the receipt, nice cognac. To see you on your way.
Done. That's your dream. Because it doesn't happen anywhere else.
And the black coffee after that.
I'd like the black coffee with my dessert, please.
Okay. Before we do move on, even though we should move on, but there's been a lot of references to Sainsbury's. Growing up, Sainsbury's.
Massive.
Now,
Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's.
Massive in my life.
Am I sensing a loyalty there to a 100%. Particular supermarket?
When I moved from my last flat, which was near a Sainsbury's, one of the biggest things I was kind of worried about was that the new flat wasn't near a Sainsbury's.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I know my way around it. I trust the brands.
Yeah.
I just trust it.
Yeah.
And I know it. And I like it. And I like the orange. I don't know what it is. I just, it's growing nice up, shade. We'd drive to Streatham Sainsbury's and I knew my way around that place like the back of my hand.
Were you at Sainsbury's house?
Yeah. We were right around the corner from a Sainsbury's, went there all the time. The biggest thing for me, moving to London for the first time, was that there wasn't a Sainsbury's anywhere near me. And Morrison's on my doorstep. And adapting to a Morrison's was hard.
You have to adapt.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like
and
it.
And I still don't like it. I still...
We were at Tesco's house.
You're Tesco?
Well, we were at home. I knew where home, Tesco's house.
I knew then, Wimbledon, right?
Yeah.
Which Tesco?
I'm not sure, to be fair.
It's a Waitrose now.
There's a Waitrose in Raynes Park now.
Yeah.
So then we became a Waitrose household.
Yeah.
And now I'm a Ocado boy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that M&S?
Yeah. But it was Waitrose and then M&S bought it. So I've been Waitrose and M&S.
I go to M&S for like Yum Yums.
Yeah.
Percy Pigs, little treats, chocolate pretzels, that stuff. I take my son, if I can, I put him in the trolley. And we whiz around Sainsbury's. I make sure he gets to run around by like the dog food because it's not busy around there. Also, he can point at the dogs. And he saw a guinea pig the other day. He's looking at like the guinea pig food.
Yeah.
He was looking at me like, what the hell is that? I was like, that's a guinea pig. And there's no one in the aisle. Whereas you can't get him out in the like veg aisle or the dairy aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy
busy. Yeah, yeah.
You got to get him down that aisle where, you know, like kitchen roll and he just runs around there.
Yeah.
Sainsbury's, love it. Love the car park. Love the branding. Feel very safe in there.
The Sainsbury's car park in Kettering, one day out of nowhere, these blokes showed up in high-vis and started offering people to wax their cars for them.
He just turned up.
And there was, and Sainsbury's didn't like it. They were like, what the fuck? But they were having trouble shifting them and getting rid of them. And at the same time, my mum, who's a keen bird watcher, loves birds. There was this rare bird that had suddenly turned up in the car park.
What the fuck is happening there?
And it's called a waxwing. That's what it's called.
John? This is what it's like talking to you.
No, it isn't. Surely not.
And my mum was really excited about it because
bird's called waxwing.
The waxwings. And she would talk about the waxwings all the time to us. It was like there was a period of her life where she was obsessed with these waxwings in Sainsbury's car park. It's all she'd talk about. The most fun kind of like interaction I've watched with my mum in terms of like misunderstandings in her life was when she was paying for the shopping at Sainsbury's and said to the lady at the counter, have you seen the waxwings in the car park? And this lady was like, Yeah, can't bloody get rid of them. I she was like, oh, but I wouldn't want to get rid of them. They're beautiful. And she was like, what? She's like, yeah, I've been coming down and watching them just like, even when I'm not shopping. And I was come down and sit and watch them and just watch them go about the car park. They're lovely. And you don't always get them in this part of the world either. So it's so nice. She's like, right, well, we're trying to get them out of the car park because, like, they shouldn't be here. And I'm like, oh, I hope you don't get them out of the car park. Please, you must encourage them. They're so lovely. I love looking at them. And then on the way home, I had to tell my mum, she thought you were talking about those guys who waxed the car. We get onto your dream dessert, John. We know that you're having a black coffee with it.
Please. Thank you. A baklava.
Oh.
Oh, hello. Lovely with a black coffee.
Yes. I'd like a little plate of... Now, you can get different types of baklava, obviously.
Mm.
What I want in my kebab shop, local kebab shop, they've got little tubs of baklava. Four piece.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This thing, I don't know if it's because it's hot in there or I don't know how long it's been there. The syrup, it is loaded with syrup.
Well, that's, I mean, most baklavas, it's just.
Well, they are, but
it, right?
No, but you can get ones where they're like really dry.
Yeah.
I want this thing dripping.
Yeah.
And I can tell when I order it, they know that I know.
Yeah.
Because, like, nobody's ordering that. They're getting kebabs. I'm ordering a kebab, but I also go, and can I also have a baklava? And they just look at me. My friend and I call the kebab shop owners our boys with tongs.
Your friend and you?
My friend Ian and I.
And when does this come up, this phrase? What do you say? Should we go and see our boys with tongs tonight?
Yeah, like if we're meeting up, it's like, do you think we might maybe be popping in to see our boys with tongs? And then maybe, you never know, maybe. And then when we go in and we see our boys... with the tongs, snap, 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 like little lobsters. They're snapping away, working hard. The main guy, he runs a tight ship in there. But those little baklavas, crucially, I'm going to say a kebab shop baklava. Sometimes you can get one where there's too much pastry or the pistachio is a bit...
crumbly.
I don't want any crumble. I want drip.
Yeah.
I want it, it's like... It's very naughty, by the way. I'm not eating this every month.
No.
It's a very naughty treat.
Why is it so naughty?
I think you could have it every month if you wanted.
Well, I have other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not...
I like, you know, biscuits biscuits in the house.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. I just like that. I like it oozing with syrup.
Yeah.
Chewy, nutty. And then I'd like one of my mum's profiteroles.
Yeah, there we go. A second thing. Yeah.
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 I thought we got away with one thing there.
Yeah, I thought it sounds weird.
No, but imagine a lovely little plate.
All he's added to this is a black coffee. Oh, no.
A square of baklava.
Yeah.
And my mum used to make her own profiteroles.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and my brothers would fill. One would do the chocolate, one would do the cream, the other would pile it up.
That's nice.
One would cut a hole in the bottom.
Yeah, she'd do that. I think she'd do that.
Two of the profiteroles would look a bit weird.
Oh, no. Oh dear. There was a moment I didn't realise what you were talking about then, and then all of a sudden an image came in my head of a lovely bowl of profiteroles. But then for some reason, me and my brothers, our heads are like just above the table. Like, what are they doing? Then I scanned across at three, I don't know, they don't look like profiteroles. They're moving, quivering.
Well, I'm thinking it's more like... If it's you and your brothers, I think there's more like there's six profiteroles in there that look weird.
Yeah,
six.
Because you've only popped your balls in. I disguise them as profiteroles.
What? So there's chocolate on them.
Yeah,
it's less hassle. There's no point trying to put them into the profiteroles. You may as well just put chocolate on your balls.
So the guests,
Don't put your knob in there. People won't mistake that for a profiterole. But if you just put the balls in, people might think that's a profiterole.
So we've got our balls in now.
It's just your balls. Yeah.
I went to Florence on my own once. I went to a posh restaurant on my own. They served profiteroles and the guy brought them over and there was no chocolate. And I just started eating them thinking, well, I guess this is how they do it here. I don't know. Also, I'm wondering if I've read the menu right. Bang! Door opens, gold vat of chocolate and he scoops and he just pours it all over. All the restaurant looks at me like this great spectacle. Fantastic. So I think actually what I'd like is a baklava.
Yeah.
And then through the restaurant into the kitchen, I can see my boys with tongs, very happy to that I'm having this.
Yeah.
And then a plain profiterole stuffed with whipped cream. And then a beautiful goblet of hot chocolate comes and it's poured over it for me.
Great. I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. Water, you would like tap water in a nice jug. Poppins or bread, you want 90s focaccia from Sainsbury's with Anchor butter. Start a French onion soup and a saucer of your homemade aubergine parmigiana. Main course, you would like a medium rare butler's steak with chips and poulet champagne. Side dish, creamed spinach. Drink, Pacifico Lager from Sainsbury's. Dessert, baklava from your boys with tongs, a black Americano, and a plain profiterole made by your mum with a massive load of hot chocolate poured on it from the guy who comes out the kitchen. And then with the bill, sorry, with the receipt, you would like some cognac.
With the receipt?
With the receipt, not the bill.
No, because the bill, that's painful. Because even though this is my dream restaurant, I'm still paying for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I think the bill just says nothing. It says for free.
What does the bill look? Oh, really? Is that what it says?
Dream, but how are you getting a receipt if you've not paid for it, though?
I'd like to pay.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I'd like to pay. Mm. I'd like to pay for the table. It's a treat. When you've got money, spend money, because there'll be a time you can't afford this. This is on me. Just remember it, because there might be a time that I say, could you take me out for dinner? I'm a bit... So at this moment of time, I'd like to buy this for you.
A lovely way to round off the evening.
It's really nice, John.
Well, thank you for joining me. It's been a fantastic meal.
Let me set myself up and we'll...
Yeah, just don't eat that last bit of bread.
Thank you very much, John.
Thanks, John.
There we are. John Kearns.
John Kearns. Listen, I loved it. What a journey it was.
Bit rude at parts.
We apologise for John being so rude.
So rude about...
We tried to steer him away from it.
Popping his penis in the bread basket with his brothers.
Oh, it was appalling. Cramming their penises into the bread basket all together with their balls.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
But there you go. That's what happens when you have John Kearns on the podcast. I suppose.
If you love rude humour, you should go and see John on tour. He is, not rude at all, actually. He's doing a show, The Varnishing Days, on tour now. Go to his website to buy tickets.
It will be fantastic. Very lucky if you do get to go and see. And also thank you, John, for not saying the secret ingredient.
Thank you for not saying double cheeseburger. Although the more I thought about it, the more I really want a double cheeseburger right now, James.
Yeah, and it would have been a very unfair one to kick someone out on.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that's a popular dish.
Delicious.
It's not like, unless you're a vegetarian, vegan, otherwise everyone likes a double cheeseburger.
Hey, you can get veggie and vegan versions of double cheeseburgers, James.
And do you know what? They're delicious.
You know what they are.
Yeah, and I get very excited when I have a good one.
Yeah. John also has a podcast called Microscope, James.
Yes. One of the ones where Benito cheats on us.
Yes, it's one of, it's the Benito Cheeto. Yeah. It's John Kearns and Matt Ewins do a podcast together called Microscope.
Two very funny men. An impeccable producer.
Oh my God, the producer.
Yeah.
Podcast needs a producer because John and Matt are both absolutely off their knackers.
Yeah. I mean, we must seem like a picnic in comparison.
We are, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Thematically as well.
Yes. Tired now?
Oh, we're both quite tired, actually.
I'm going to New Zealand and Australia.
Right now?
April and May.
Yep.
So come along and see me there if you'd like.
It's a hot ticket.
edgamble.co.uk for tickets and details.
And there will be rude stuff in those shows. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.